Well, friends, I'm glad you've made the choice to be here at CCV today again on all of our campuses, and we're continuing our series called Elevate, and today we're talking about how we can elevate our trust by giving back to God. And if you have a Bible with you today, I want to ask you to go ahead and grab your Bible, or if you have a tablet with you or a smartphone, whatever it is you use, I want to ask you to locate the last book in the Old Testament of the Bible. It's the book of Malachi. And today I want us to study a section of scripture in Malachi that for me personally has served to elevate my trust in God as much as any other section in all the Bible. Now, as you're locating Malachi, let me just kind of give you a little bit of background on what's going on in this period in the Bible. Hundreds of years previous to the time that we're getting ready to read about, God had told his people that whenever they were going to bring an offering back to him, whenever they were going to bring a sacrifice back to him, they should go walk around in their fields and they should find their very best offering, their very best lamb to make as a sacrifice. Specifically in Leviticus chapter 22, God says this, that your offering should be without defect or blemish. And for a period of time, God's people did just that. They would go out and they would search their fields and they would bring their very best lamb, their very best offering, and they would give that back to God. But that is not what is happening in Malachi's day. In fact, as we come near the end of the Old Testament of the Bible, let's take a look at what's happening. Malachi chapter 1, starting in verse 8. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you offer or sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? These are rhetorical questions, by the way. Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on my altars. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. You see what's going on here? In the day of Malachi, instead of people going out into their fields and finding their very best lamb, instead of people finding their very best offering, you know what they were doing? Exactly the opposite. They were going out into their fields and they were looking for the worthless lamb, the diseased lamb, the lame lamb, the crippled lamb. They were looking for the offering that really wouldn't cost them anything. They were looking for the offering that they really wouldn't miss. And they would scoop that offering up. They would scoop that lamb up and they would rush to the temple and they would put it up on the altar and they would say, "This is for God. I hope he likes it." And Malachi says, God doesn't like it. In fact, he's offended by the whole thing. And better you offer no offering at all than to offer a blind, crippled, lame, leftover lamb or offering. Now, that's pretty powerful. And I've been trying to think about what that would look like in our day and age, in our perspective. And let me just kind of paint the picture of what it would look like. Men, it would be the equivalent of if you went to Target to buy all kinds of Valentine's gifts and especially chocolates for your wife, but you went to Target on February the 15th, the day after Valentine's Day, because the chocolates are cheap and they're leftovers, right? And you bought just as many as you could carry, and you went home carrying all these chocolates and you said, "Here you go, babe. How do you like it? How would you like it, ladies?" Not very much. You would probably say, "You know what? That is not your best offering. That's not the best you can do." And that's what was going on in Malachi's day, and that happens in our lives even sometimes as well. Now, of course, when we bring offerings back to God, we don't bring a lamb back to God. I doubt if any of you on any of our campuses have brought a lamb for an offering today. Have you done that? Any lambs? No, that would be weird, right? You haven't done that. You know why? Why don't we bring a lamb as a sacrifice, as an offering anymore? It's because of Jesus. The Bible is clear that Jesus is the perfect lamb that was sacrificed on our behalf once and for all for the forgiveness of our sins. And so when we come to give offerings to God now, we don't bring a lamb to him. We bring ourselves. And we also oftentimes bring these, our money, right? When we think about an offering or giving an offering back to God, we think about bringing our dollars back to him. This is what we usually would bring to him. This is a $1 bill and a $5 and a $10 and a $50, and I have $100 here, and I have extra security tonight, by the way. And here's what's just kind of crazy about the money and the resources we bring back to God. On every single one of them, it doesn't matter what denomination you choose, it doesn't matter who you are, on the back of every single bill, it says these four words: in God we what? Trust. In God we trust. Today, in our series, we're talking about how we can elevate our trust in God. And here's the deal. Each and every one of us at some point is going to have to answer Malachi's question and determine the quality of sacrifice, the quality of offering that we are going to bring back to God. And honestly, for many, it may have never even occurred to you that giving leftovers might actually be hurtful to God. Maybe when it's time for our tithes and offerings and the buckets come down the row, you had just kind of always reasoned in your mind, you know what? Hey, something's better than nothing, right? I mean, God's probably just thrilled with anything that I send his way. But as we look back here to Malachi, he says, God does not want our leftovers. He wants our very best offerings. And so today, we're going to talk about how we can give back to God. And we're going to talk about some very real questions. Some things like, hey, when it comes to giving back to God, should I give off the gross or the net of my income? And what about this? Should I really be giving back to God if I can't afford the bills that I already have and the debts that I already have? Or what about this, the whole tithing thing? I mean, is that really for us? Isn't tithing really an Old Testament thing? Today we're going to study two Bible-based principles for giving back to God. And these two principles are going to answer all of those questions and even more. Now, before we get into those two principles, if you're taking notes, I want you to write down this equation. Information plus application equals transformation. Information plus application equals transformation. Friends, there is no doubt that the information, the Bible-based principles that we're going to study today have the power to transform your life. But the key ingredient and the only question is, will we apply them to our lives? Information alone does not lead to transformation. It's only when we apply it to our lives. So, let's dive in. The first Bible-based principle is this: our giving to God should be a first priority. Our giving to God should be a first priority. Now, when you think about your money, think about all the money you have, there's basically five different things that you and I can do with our money. We can spend it, we can repay debt with it, we can pay taxes with it, we can save it, or we can give it. These are basically the five things right here that you can do with your money. Now, what's crazy is this. This also right here is basically the order that most Americans prioritize their money. And what happens is this. When this is the order of our money right here, we end up giving to God last. You see, if I haven't spent it all on myself, if I haven't given it all to the credit card, if the government hasn't taken it all, right? If I haven't saved it all for something I want later, then I give back to God. And when this is the order of our financial priorities, God always gets leftovers. And so what I want to suggest today is that we should flip that list and we should give back to God first. And then second, we should save some for ourselves. And then we should pay our taxes and our debts, and we should spend what is left. And I promise you, this is true. If you and I do not get in the habit of giving to God first, we will get in the habit of giving him leftovers. In the Bible, in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "Honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best, and your barns will burst and your wine vats will brim over." If you ask people who regularly give back to God, how do you do it? How do you stay on that? How do you keep God a priority? I promise you, one of the main things they're going to say is that I give back to God as the first priority out of every paycheck. Whenever I get or receive my paycheck, the first thing that goes out is back to God. And I want you to know that that is not only wise financially, but it is also symbolically significant. It is you and I saying, hey, listen, God, you are in the first place in my life. Again, in the Bible, in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, it says, "The purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives." And notice it doesn't say the purpose of tithing is to keep God from going bankrupt, right? I want you to know God's doing pretty good, by the way, financially. The purpose of tithing isn't to keep your church or CCV from going bankrupt. The purpose, catch this, the purpose of giving our best back to God is because it's a tangible expression to our friends and to our family and to this world that, hey, God is at the first place in my life. And let me tell you something, if we are not careful, this is so important right here. If you are not careful and if I am not careful, because of where we live in the United States of America, and because of all of the opportunities that we have, and because of all the options that we have to spend our money, if you and I do not pre-decide what we are going to do with our resources, there's always a huge chance of God getting leftovers. One of the smartest things that we can do as followers of Jesus is to pre-decide what we're going to do with our resources and to make God a priority in our lives. And one of the easiest ways and the best ways in this world we live in to do this is to automate our giving back to God. If you're taking notes, this might be something a little bit new to you, but I want to share it with you because it's part of the world we live in. Here's the notes. Here's the blank. You automate the important. You automate the important things in your life, right? I mean, I do. Each and every week, each and every month. My mortgage, for instance, is important to me and my family. I want to keep my home, so my mortgage payment is automated. Man, it comes right out of my paycheck as soon as they're ready to take it at the first of the month. Boom, there it goes. My cell phone, this is kind of sad to admit, but it's automated because I don't want to lose it. I use my cell phone on a regular basis, and so, boy, I automate that payment. My satellite TV, especially during football season, is very important to me. I don't want to lose a signal. I don't want to be down for a day. And so it's automated. And for many of you, it's the same way, whether it's DirecTV or Dish or whatever it is, it just goes right out. My retirement is so important to me and my family, my wife. And so before anything else comes out of my check, basically, my retirement's going out there. I don't even see it. It's automated, so I am sure to invest in and fund my retirement. And I do that because it's important to me. And Renee and I, when it comes to our giving back to God, it is automated because it's that important in our lives. Now listen, and hear my heart on this. Please understand my heart on this. You can certainly honor God by getting out your checkbook and by writing a check back to God every week or every 2 weeks or every month. That is awesome. I'm sure some of you do that. That is great. But I also just want you to know that you can honor God in your life by pre-deciding what you are going to do with your resources and by setting it up online. It's just part of the world that we live in. And for some, you may say, well, that just sounds less spiritual. To me, it's not less spiritual at all. To me, it is saying, God, you are going to be my first priority. And I don't even want there to be a chance of you getting leftovers. And so I am going to put systems in place in my life because I know me. And I know how I like to spend my money. I'm going to put systems in place So I give to you first. To me, it's that important. Did you know around here at CCV that roughly 56% of our tithes and offerings come in online? 56%, that's through the website or through the app or through a kiosk in the lobby on any of our campuses. So basically 5 or 6 out of every 10 people in your row give their tithes and offerings back to God in an online way. Of those 56%, right at 29 to 30% have automated that. About 3 out of every 10 people sitting around you have said, you know, I want to put systems in place where I'm sure that right off the bat it's going to go to God and He is going to be the first priority. I'm just saying to you that one of the best ways for you to make sure that God is first and best is to automate it in our lives. And for me, again, it's an important thing that I do. And maybe you're thinking, well, that sounds pretty cool. I think I'd like to do that. I want to challenge you to do that. And maybe you're also thinking, well, Todd, if I did that, what amount should I automate? I'm so glad you asked, right? That's actually the second Bible-based principle that I want us to study today that can bring transformation, no doubt about it, to our lives. Here it is. Our giving to God should be the first 10%. When it comes to giving, the Bible speaks clearly of 10% being the starting point in our giving back to God. It's called a tithe, 10%. And so again, it looks like this. If you have this money, if you have these bills, for every 10 of these you get, for every $10 you get in your life, $1 goes back to God. That's a tithe. And I know some of you are arguing with me in your head right now, and you're always going to win that argument, right? But you're thinking to yourself, Todd, that would be so easy if I only had 10. But I'm not 7 years old anymore. I've got 10,000 of these, okay? Or I've got 50,000 of these. Or I've got 100,000 of these, Todd. And I know. Listen, I know that... Isn't this crazy? Oftentimes, the more blessed, and because of the country that we live in, the more blessed we get, sometimes the harder it is to keep giving those back to God. But I promise you that nothing illuminates our trust more than what we do with our money. And at some point, you and I have to wrestle with this question, am I going to tithe to God from the best of my whole income, or am I just going to tip God with whatever is left? Am I going to tithe to Him and give Him my best out of all my first resources, or am I just going to kind of tip Him with whatever is left? Back to the book of Malachi, if you still have your Bible or tablet or smartphone. Malachi now, we're in chapter 3, starting in verse 8. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You're under a curse, the whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I don't throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out such a blessing that there will not even be room enough for it. Friends, God wants to bless you completely, but only when you trust Him completely. You catch that? God wants to bless you, and He wants to bless me completely, but only when we trust Him completely. There's 3 words I want us to underline and circle in Malachi chapter 3. They're also in your notes. The first one is the words, the whole tithe. God says, I want you to bring the whole tithe back to me. And several times when I've been teaching this section of Scripture, I've had people come up to me and say, wow, that's awesome. I want to do that. I want God's blessings in my life. So here's what I'm going to do, Todd. I'm going to begin this weekend, or I'm going to begin this month, and I'm going to begin to give a tithe of 5% back to God. I'm going to begin to tithe back 8% of my income. Is that okay? And my answer is always the same. No, it's not okay, because that's not what a tithe means. A tithe is 100%. It's the Hebrew word there, ma'aser. Ma'aser. And it means 10%. God says bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. And here's another blank for you to fill in. This is just so compelling and convicting in my life, and that is simply this, that partial obedience is complete disobedience. Partial obedience is complete disobedience. God says, bring to me the whole tithe. And where does he want us to bring this tithe? It says, into the storehouse. Everybody say storehouse. Storehouse. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse. That is the local church in this day. If you're local church is CCV, if this is where you call home, then bringing your tithes and offerings into this place is God's vehicle. The local church is God's vehicle for changing and affecting this world and God's kingdom and its people. And so we bring our resources, a whole tithe, into the local church so it can be dispersed out and serve and grow God's kingdom. Now, when we're talking about the tithe, this question that I brought up earlier, the question is this, and I know this is what some of you are thinking in your mind. When I bring my tithe back to God, do I give to him off of the gross of my income or the net of my income? And when people ask me that, I always have the same response. Well, that depends. Do you want a gross blessing or a net blessing? Which one is it? That's a joke, sorry. Okay, that's a joke. Here's the answer, okay? Are you ready for the answer to this? The answer is that we give off of the gross of our income. And here's why. Follow me on this. We give off of the gross because that's the only way that we're actually giving to God first. He wants to be our first offering. When we give off of the net of our income, we've actually given to other people first. Not to God. We've given to other people first, and then we give to God. Namely, we've given to our government first. Now, let me just ask you this. You surmise this for yourself, but who are you wanting to trust? Do you want to trust your government or your God to bless your resources? And so I say we give to him off of the gross of our income. You see, it's not only the amount that is so important to God, it is also the priority. God says, I want to be first in your life and in your family. And if you'll bring this to me, if you'll bring this whole tithe back into the storehouse, I love this. The next thing says, test me in this. Just underline that in your Bible or circle that in your notes. Test me in this. This is the only place right here in the entire Bible where God says, hey, you don't believe me? Bring it on. Test me. It's like a challenge from God saying, come on, come on, I dare you. I double dog, I triple dog dare you to bring the whole tithe back into me and the storehouse and see if I don't open up the floodgates of heaven and you're not even going to have a room enough for it. Just test me in this. You know what? I've been a pastor now for 20 years and never have I ever had any single person say to me, you know what, Todd, I started tithing and it ruined my life. I've never had that happen. I've never had anyone say, you know what, I started tithing and now I'm bankrupt. Here's the thing. God has a perfect track record of faithfulness. And he's not going to blow it on you. A perfect track record of faithfulness. Listen, God resources those who resource his kingdom. It's just true. God resources those who resource his kingdom. And how many of you know that 90% with God is going to go further than 100% without him? It's just true. Now, I know, again, some of you are sitting here right now, and you're agreeing, and you're saying, Todd, that's wonderful, and that's fantastic, and I love the book of Malachi, but you, of course, know, Todd, that that's Old Testament, and I'm actually more of a New Testament kind of Christian. And I don't think the New Testament really talks so much about tithing. Not true. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus' words, Matthew chapter 23, verse 23, Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites, you give a tenth or a tithe of your spices, mint and dill and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. And then catch this. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. In other words, Jesus is saying here, hey, listen, it's the whole package, people. Just because you live a good life is no excuse not to tithe. And just because you tithe, that doesn't mean you can now go live however you want. It's the whole package. Jesus is elevating the bar. And we must realize that our lives and our resources belong to God. Psalms chapter 24, verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." Friends, everything belongs to God. If we're just really going to boil this down today, this is just what you got to know in your life. This is just a truth that applies to all of humanity. Everything, not some things, not a few things, not just those things, everything belongs to God, and everything is dispersed by God. And the tithe that we're talking about today is actually only the beginning. We must realize that everything we have belongs to God, and we are simply returning to Him what is already His. To begin with. So here's the real question. The real question for us to wrestle with is not so much how much should I give. The real question is how much should I keep? How much do I really need to keep for myself? Realizing that God is capable of not only meeting but exceeding all my needs. God says in Malachi, He says, listen, just test me. Just try it. Just test me in this and see if I don't open the floodgates of heaven. So here's the takeaway today. If you're looking for a takeaway, here it is. This is more of a decision. This is more of a declaration. This is more of a challenge to you. Here's the takeaway. I am going to choose to trust God. I'm going to choose to trust God. It may not be easy. It may not be the natural thing for you to drift towards. It may mean some tough conversations even within your family, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. If you can make this your takeaway today, this week, during this Elevate series, I am going to choose to trust God. I promise you, it can transform your life. The principles, the information that we're talking about can transform your life. But listen, it's not just knowing these principles that transforms us. It's doing the hard work in our lives and applying these principles that transforms our lives. And so I would challenge you today, CCV, trust the perfect track record of God and put Him in the first place in your life. Bring that whole tithe back to Him. Automate it if you can. And make sure that you are giving to Him first and just see what happens. Let's pray together. God, thank You for just a little bit of time today, just about a half an hour, where we can carve out time and study Your Word and think about different principles in the Bible. And God, I know that this is something that just, it really kind of rattles us in our core sometimes because it just illuminates our trust. And so God, I pray that You would increase our trust in You. And God, as we do that, I pray that Your faithfulness would just be obvious and it would be abundant. God, I thank You for this place. I thank You for these people. I'm so blessed to be able to be here with them and study and learn and grow with them. It's in Your Son, Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.